Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's over there.
Hello.
And Chris is right here.
What up?
Word up indeed, Christopher. Now, competitiveness is everywhere. From those in government to our entertainment industry, individuals fighting to get their talents and ideas out there provide much of what we consume. Of course, on a far less grander scale, we all have a friend who can get a little bit spicy when playing a game of Pictionary or Articulate as well. So today we're asking the question, are you competitive?
I don't think I am. I think I am in certain instances, but in general, I don't know. I think I'm a bit lazy. I don't really think I care enough to be that competitive.
Can't be bothered to be competitive.
A bit. Like,
I thought you were going to be saying, you know, I thought you were going to say, you know, I'm just a good person and I just know that it's not worth it. But instead you're like, nah, I'm just a bit lazy.
I am in certain instances. I'll give you an instance where I am competitive, and that is playing football. But I don't ever let it spill over. It's always with myself. Like, I always just want to be better. As Marcus, you're like this. So Marcus and I used to play five-a-side together a few years ago. Actually, we never got to play together because we were never allowed on the same team. And
two of the better players, Chris, that's why.
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth is I picked the teams as well.
Call it as it is.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. So before Marcus turned up, I didn't lose a game all season. I never lost one single game. And then Marcus turned up and because we were always on different teams, so I never actually won a game. Marcus is genuinely a very good player. So the thing is, I'd want to win and I'd want to win fairly. And there was a thing in me that wanted to just stop him, you know. But I couldn't show him.
You just want to show him.
But I wasn't that competitive where I'd stack the deck and give him a weaker team. Like, I had to do it for me. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if many other people picked up on it. Maybe a couple of guys did. But for me, it's like I had to win for me. And there was a competitive streak in me. And I would have never lorded that over him because he probably would have smashed me the next week anyway. But there was, yeah. So I am, but I'm also not that much. Like, not enough to do anything serious about it. Not enough to go for an extra run or to think about anything too in depth.
To actually do any kind of training.
Exactly, yeah. So there's part of me that is competitive, and on the pitch I'll do anything to win that isn't cheating, if that makes sense.
By the way, before you jump in, that's very, very kind of you indeed to say all that stuff, Chris, and very very humble of you, and also very accurate of you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, I was thinking about this, like, I really don't think I am competitive. But it's funny you mentioned about cheating. Like, if I think someone else is trying to get an advantage in an underhand way, I cannot bear it. And I will get competitive then, because I'm like, right, I will show you you do not need to cheat. Like, come on, we're doing this fair and square. And like, yeah, if I think there's any kind of dodgy dealings, that's when I get so competitive at that point.
I've got a story about something like that where I used to work for the church you guys now go to, and we were on staff and Ben, a good friend of mine, who's actually the vicar where I'm at now, him and I were doing the team social on a weekend away. And so we did a quiz, but we put all the people we knew would find it funny to cheat in one team and all the people who would get angry at cheating in another. And we said, look, we'll call it straight. If we catch them cheating, we'll dock them points. But there's one more rule. You're not allowed to point. And it was hilarious because obviously we would catch the cheating team and we'd dock them points, but the other team are constantly like jabbing things in the air, like, they're cheating. And we're like, we can see that. Stop pointing. And so we'd balance up as well. But it was quite funny to see how some people, they just get so angry at cheating all the time.
Oh, that's me. That's me. If I, like, I have been on some, especially a church quiz. If you know someone's cheating, at that point, I am not happy. I am not happy at all. And I am the person jumping up going, he's cheating. I can see him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I can't be. That is the time when I do start to get competitive. But it's funny, because before we recorded, I was chatting with my boyfriend about this, and I was saying, you know, oh no, I'm really not that competitive, am I? He said, oh, I can't stand that you're not competitive.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because you know what? I think if you're playing a game with someone or something, yeah. if you're both the same levels of competitiveness, that's quite fun yeah. because you're kind of,
yeah.
you're both as invested. Whereas he was saying like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're just sitting there being like, well, I don't really mind. It's only a game, isn't it? He finds that absolutely infuriating.
Does he yeah. find you saying that infuriating? Because I can imagine being too bad unless you were there just going, well, I just don't care. It's stupid, isn't it? Stupid game. I can imagine that being more infuriating.
Yeah. Mm. Well, like having some, like if you're getting really invested in something and you're putting all your effort into it and someone, like to be fair, if someone then is like, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? I can see why that would be annoying. But
do you ever savor that for after you've won? And that makes it even worse. So it's like, wow, I know I won, but it's just a game. Make it worse.
So I do get that kind of that satisfaction from winning, but I do try and play it cool of like, oh well, you know, you're like we're all standing an equal chance, you know. It was just my lucky day, wasn't it? You know, someone else will win next time, secretly being like, yes.
Yeah. But it's an interesting question when someone says, are you competitive? Describe someone as competitive. Because you're talking about perhaps a board game, Sarah, or something like that, Chris, you're talking about on the five-a-side pitch. I would always argue that these arenas are made for being competitive.
Yeah.
Because you're right, if you're playing, even if it's just a recreational game of football or a kickabout, and the rest of your team is not competitive, they don't really care, that's really annoying.
Yeah.
You don't want someone overly competitive, so they're doing all, you know, you've got to judge the situation. If you're playing a five-a-side game on a Sunday afternoon, well, there's no money involved. It's not your career, yeah. so just yeah. calm down a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want
people
someone
can get a bit over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do find it funny, though, because if someone is described as competitive to me, if you say, oh, what's your friend like, or what's your mate, or whatever, someone say, oh yeah, this, that, and the other, oh, and they're quite competitive.
Oof.
I would immediately think they're a bit of a prat.
I don't want you bringing them along to drinks.
Yeah. However,
unless they're competing,
everyone needs a bit of.
Oh yeah, fine. Yeah.
But everyone needs a bit of competitiveness, I'd say. Otherwise, you're just a bit of a sloth.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so
this is a wider thing.
Doesn't care about anything.
Well, exactly. The word, I mean, it's interesting because the word competitive is an adjective used to describe a situation or activity where people compete with each other. So there needs to be some kind of comparison involved, if you like, with competitiveness. But if you go, say, for a job interview, and you're asked, are you competitive? You've got to be careful how you answer that. Because if you say, no, I'm not competitive, well, that's probably, I would say in a lot of jobs, not all, but generally speaking, I think an employer would be a bit like, nah. So do you lack drive? Do you lack motivation? Do you lack ambition? I think there's a wider kind of thing there. Whereas if you say, yeah, I am competitive, then all right, I think you've got to say in the right areas, you know, because let's be honest, if you want to get a promotion, or you want to get on the stage or something, I know we all have our ambitions, Sarah, then you have to therefore have some level of competition, perhaps, certainly in the sporting arena. I suppose the idea for this question came to me watching The Last Dance. A lot of people have watched that on Netflix. Michael Jordan was extremely competitive. And still is, by the looks of things, you know.
Yeah.
It drove him to be the best. Competition is very highly valued in society, and achievement is often tied to self-esteem or what we think about others. What's that person kind of achieved, and so on and so forth. So I find it quite interesting because, yes, if someone is described as they're competitive, I would think, oh, I would think of it in a certain way. But if someone's described someone as ambitious or driven, or something like that. I'm not sure. It depends what other adjectives you chuck in there with them, of course. You know, you probably would just use that one.
I suppose as well, it kind of depends what area of their life you're talking about. Because if it's sort of in, yeah, like, you know, obviously in sport, you have to be competitive and that kind of thing.
Mm.
But I think there is a danger of things, you know, getting a bit competitive with things like your personal life. You know, well, actually, I've bought a house. Well, I'm getting married. Well, I'm doing this. And that, I think being competitive in that sort of thing is just, or that's a real slippery slope you don't want to get on.
Which could be seen in, I think we've mentioned this before in these podcasts, which could be seen in those letters that you get given at Christmas. You know, those family ones?
Yeah, which you were incredibly rude about my family in.
Yeah. That's what those letters are set up for. Those letters are competitive. It's competitive family bollocks. Yeah. That's what I look at them as.
On the Michael Jordan thing, he was weirdly competitive, wasn't it? Like, literally everything he wanted to do, he would take to the extreme, whether it was, I think it was gambling, whether it, even they were saying, like, he changed sport for 18 months, didn't he? Play baseball instead of basketball. And a lot of the people were saying he started off not brilliant, but actually they said, well, I have no doubt that if he'd have continued, he would have kind of made it to the big leagues. But I think that's the thing. There's something in people like that, which, as you said, Sarah, they could spill over into your private life, can be incredibly destructive. You know, if people are competing, you know, for the love of someone else, like, oh, you know, let's say you know two friends fancy the same person, there's a competition there, and it's not from a healthy thing of wanting the other person, it's wanting to beat someone else. And I think that's where there's like, I going back to what you're saying, Marcus, there's like, I guess, really fine lines that we might not be able to identify between the difference between comparison and being driven, competitiveness and comparison as well. And I was thinking about comparison actually this morning. I don't know why, it wasn't anything to do with this, and how, like, if you compare yourself to people and you deem yourself to be better, that just leads to pride and arrogance. But if you think that you're worse off than people, then that also can lead to envy and jealousy. And like, there's just these fine lines between, it's good to compete. I think it is a healthy thing, but I think it can very quickly become super unhealthy. And I guess that's where you were saying about self-worth. Like, am I actually trying to get my worth and my identity based in the fact I'm good at something?
I think I'm watching The Last Dance. I mean, I haven't watched all of it. I'm sort of halfway through. Michael Jordan doesn't come over particularly arrogant to me. People say, oh, of course, there's an arrogance and the swag. I'd put that down to more confidence, actually, given the sort of the benefit of that doubt. But I was reading an article about this, and they were saying the greatest artists, doctors, entrepreneurs, politicians, musicians, designers, engineers, architects, and so on were able to get where they are only because they were competitive. And on the sports field, you have to be competitive because you're playing against another team. You have to beat them. So that's pretty obvious.
You said, stop. I'm not. But
of course. Mm. But in other areas, I don't think it is actually as clear cut as that. Sports field is obvious. But I don't know if, say, some musicians are that competitive. So I think some people, some are, but some people just love doing their art. Yeah. Or performing, if you see what I mean. And they happen to be really good at it. I mean, take a bit of perhaps a slightly naff example or whatever, but, you know, forgive my lack of contemporary references. But say, take Jimi Hendrix was considered, you know, one of the greatest guitarists of all time, or certainly in the field of sort of rock. I don't know much about the man, of course. I've seen a few documentaries. Never came across as particularly competitive. I just think that he liked what he did, and he did it bloody well. Whereas fast forward a couple of decades, and again, forgive my non-contemporary reference point, when you get someone like Noel Gallagher saying, we write the best tunes, we're going to be around forever, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's very competitive talk. And that appeals to some people, of course. Some people quite like that. Other people are like, oh, shut up, you idiot. And other people are like, here we go, kind of thing. So I'm not sure. I mean, take a comedian like Billy Connolly. Is Billy Connolly or was Billy Connolly competitive?
Billy Connolly.
Well, I mean, I'm just.
It'll be Sven next.
Well, we know where he's competitive and succeeds the most. But I don't know. I do you see what I mean? Even somebody like Ronaldinho was competitive, but you wouldn't say he was like Cristiano Ronaldo. But then you'd say, well, actually, that probably shows because Ronaldo was at the top of his game for longer. But whatever examples you use, getting away from sports, do you see what I mean, though? Sometimes that some people are just incredibly talented and they've worked on it because they love it and they just do it and they do it and they have a natural flair and they happen to get to pack out, you know, Wembley Stadium or play the best comedy clubs or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I think that's where it's dangerous if you start. There are some things, you know, for example, sport, where you can rank people because there are points and you can numerically do it and things like that. Like, I think in that case, you know, in order to climb the ranks, you have to be competitive. But I don't think it really works when it comes to art and things like that, because I'm not sure that, you know, comedy sketches or paintings or songs are kind of necessarily objectively comparable. So, you know, like, I think, you know, if Picasso was saying, I'm going to be better than Monet, like, it's not really, they're doing different things. Like, I
but just he might have done, though.
He might, yeah, he might have done.
But this is the weird thing. So therefore, in the more arty sort of entertainments kind of arena, you're right, you don't have the yardstick that you clearly do in sport. But that competitiveness can still be alive and well, as we see with particular individuals we may have opinions on, of I don't know, if even if broadcasters or people competitive, you know, about how many albums they sell or how many paintings, as you say.
I suppose if you're using it to spur you on, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who have been very successful who've said, I want to be the greatest, I want to be better than all of them. And that if you're using that as kind of encouragement and fuel for your fire, fair enough. But I think it can, sort of like we touched on earlier, it can start to get a bit destructive if you're, as Chris was saying, looking down at other people and going, yeah, I'm better than them. And you can become quite obsessed with wanting to be the best. And, you know, what if something goes wrong? You know, if you're a sportsman and you break your leg, that's it. It's all over.
Yeah.
Like, I just think there's something very dangerous about tying all your self-worth into one thing like that.
You could argue, though, that nearly everything in society is a competition. Where you choose to eat or which supermarket you go to, they're competing essentially for your for you to be a customer. You know, well, it's a system it's we interesting live in, when you kind of open it up.
I mean, the kind of our neoliberalist capitalist system is that, you know, it is based on survival of the fittest, isn't it? You know, it's kind of the
exactly there was no part the Soviets. The Soviet Union weren't competitive at all, Chris. You're absolutely not.
But yeah, foreign affairs. You know, let's look at certain prime ministers or presidents, you know, make it somewhere great again. It's all about because we'll be the best. It's the competitiveness there. Yeah. I don't think that person in particular wants the country to be great, but himself. But that's where it is, you know. And going back to the Michael Jordan documentary, which I thought was brilliant, and there was something that really stuck out to me quite early on when they said, that him and one of his brothers used to be super competitive, and he said he was doing it, well, forgive me if I'm wrong, I'm paraphrasing, but basically he was doing it to get his dad's attention. Like, he was doing it to show his dad that he was better than his brother. And there's almost this thing that with it, I think within childhood can take hold of us where I just need to be noticed. I need to be noticed by by my family, essentially. And that never leaves you. And I find it interesting that throughout the documentary, you see he's actually very close to his dad. But there'd be something that sets into our minds when we're young that can be this, I just need to be noticed. And because if I get noticed, I become loved. And that sort of thing.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go. Going deep again.
But it's true. A lot of studies really say that. A number of studies say that's where competitiveness begins, is competing for your mother and father's love, essentially, or attention.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, some of the... especially in, you know, some kind of more slightly repressive cultures, which, you know, some people might say the British can be, we don't necessarily get emotional, you know, with hugs and kisses and I love yous, but we might, you know, you may get affirmation from things like, well, didn't you do well on that test in school or that kind of thing. So that way you're learning. I mean, I'm getting a bit deep into psychology now, but if you're...
Go for it.
If the way that you're having love expressed to you is through praise for your achievements, that's going to teach you that achieving is the way to get more love. And so the vicious cycle establishes itself.
Yeah.
Well, survival of the fittest is based on competition. I mean, if you look at, you know, if you've ever seen, you know, sort of any kind of Attenborough documentary or anything like that, I mean, when the mother bird, as it's, I believe, the technical term, is got a worm in its gob, and all the chicks are looking up, they're not going, oh no, after you. They're all trying to, you know, it wouldn't be elbow, it'd be sort of wing each other out the way and try and get it. You know, it's there, isn't it? It's almost like an animal instinct, that sort of survival of the fittest. But some people, as we touched on earlier, don't like competition. And one of the reasons is because it might mean that people think competition is, it's a bit nasty.
So and actually, I would put myself in that category.
Right, okay.
I think.
So would you be concerned that people may dislike you if you kind of beat them or you got the better of them or you...
It's not quite that I'd be worried I'd be disliked. It's more that, like, I think when other people start to take it a bit seriously, mm-hmm. I start to worry, like, oh, no, are they going to throw a strop if they lose? Or are they, you know, I want everyone to have a nice time and I want us all to be having fun. I don't actually want this to turn into something serious. So for me, it starts feeling a little bit unsafe occasionally when you've got someone who takes it a bit too seriously, I think.
You've said before, though, you don't like conflict. So it's that, again, it's
It absolutely ties into that. Conflict.
Like, if everybody is having a lovely time competing, then you'll probably enjoy it, right? But it's just that fear that someone's going to kick off.
Well, this is why Monopoly, I just think, stay away from Monopoly. Like, the last time that I genuinely... Like, I don't really tend to fall out with people that often. Like, as we've touched on, I don't like conflict. I just let things blow over. But I remember we were playing Monopoly when I was at university. And they just weren't following the rules. And it all just started to, like, it became emblematic of something else. And I just felt like, you don't care. You're not doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it just turned into something ridiculous. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to stay away from Monopoly.
Wasn't Monopoly designed, though, because to show the ills of capitalism? Like, it's designed to end in arguments. And do you know what my side of the family probably find it a little bit funny to cheat in games. Like, it's actually part of the fun. Like, you don't cheat and then you don't tell people. You almost you show your hand. This is funny, guys. This is about all the taking part. My wife's side of the family do not think like that at all. Or they say they don't, you know. they bought me the Cheaters Edition of Monopoly, which is where you get these new cards where you have to, you know, steal money from the bank or someone's hotel or, you know, things like that. And if you get around, you're allowed to. Mm. And it's quite cool. You've got little handcuffs that you get attached to the board if you get caught. Anyway, it's rubbish because they're trying to legitimize cheating, which takes the fun out of cheating. So it feels like
enjoy it.
Oh no, it's no fun then. I'm not one by the cheat. It's about fun.
There's a
card
game called Cheat, and I'm like, yeah, I get to be underhand and can I fool you? But no, any other kind, as long as it's legitimate cheating.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's funny though because you're both proving what the studies say that women are less competitive than men. And it's competitiveness is all studies, or I say all studies, most studies that you find on this that they say that men are more competitive, and competitiveness is usually seen as a more male thing. Now, women, of course, are competitive as well, but there was a study on Harvard Business Review that found that women valued competition less when it comes to building character, increasing performance, and finding solutions. So essentially, women value competitiveness according to this study, whereas men think no, it builds character and it can do this, that, and the other. Therefore, women are probably, according to this study, less likely to put themselves in a sort of an overtly competitive situation, if you see what I mean.
I don't know. I wonder how much of that is socialization, though. That
it's biology.
Women are from a young
age.
We are taught that it's not good to be, like, with men, it's so ambitious. Whereas with women, that tends to be, you know, construed more negatively, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, the study is not saying why this is the case, and it's not saying it's good or bad. It's merely finding that the sort of few thousand people that they did the study on, that was their findings, which I find quite interesting, and I. Sure, you've. There's some. There will be at least some truth in perhaps what you're saying there, Sarah. But as you say, unless we do our own study, you know, it's all out there on the internet. People, for crying out loud, if you want to do more reading,
that'll be my lockdown project. I'll conduct my own study.
Indeed, I mean, some people though, you get some people who are happy to compete against other people, so they'll immediately think, right, where's the competition? Oh, I'm going to beat them, or I'm going to. you know, do that, blah, blah, blah. Where some people, they compete against themselves. And as long as they're happy with the, with their own performance, that would be a kind of positive way of doing it. Because actually, to go back to Michael Jordan or my own one, sort of Billy Connolly or something, I actually think that, yeah, Jordan is obviously competing. But I think ultimately, if he was happy with his own performance, he knows what to expect of himself, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, he's and the same way with in that he,
well,
he,
yeah,
I'm not going to ruin it for you, but there's certain instances where he almost invents a beef with someone to get his own competition going. And they'd ask him afterwards, did that happen? He said no, but he told everyone that he had beef with this. That someone said something to him, and oh, then that basically spurred him on. Like, he needed some sort of extrinsic external motivation to get him going.
Interesting.
Which is fascinating, really, because compete with yourself. I think I would now fall into that category where I want to do really well for me. And it's like, I'm studying at the moment. So, you know what it's like at university? Everybody says, what grade did you get? And I'm the last one to say that because I actually don't care. Like, I know that, you know, I'm in my late 30s, so I'm studying, and that means that I am actually making a lot of effort and reading the materials and stuff like that. So I know that I basically can't do any more on that essay. So I don't really care what anyone else gets. But I think that could be an age thing. I think the older I get, the less I really care about what other people think too much. I mean, we all still care. I think we all love to, we do invite judgment on ourselves, I think, but we want that judgment to be positive. I want you to think that's really good, Chris. I think you're really good at that or whatever. But
I think you're right. I do as well. I found it that I'm less competitive even on the football pitch as I get older, because when I was in my late teens, early 20s, even though this was a delusional thought, there's still that thing of, oh, you know, could I, 95% of you knows you're not going to be a professional footballer or go particularly high in the game, even though 100% of you should know that. As I say, it's a delusional thought, but there's still that kind of, this means something really big, and could I maybe make it pro, or could I make it this, that, this? Whatever it may be, it seems, maybe not even the whole sort of professional thing. Maybe it's the more of a, you're younger and it therefore means more to you because you have less perspective. And now I find, playing football, even competitive 11 aside, a couple of years ago, two seasons ago, the team I played for, we won the cup final.
Well done.
And I walked off the pitch and I remember thinking, oh, that's nice. That's great. Right. What am I doing for the rest of the day? Like, I don't think had we have won or lost, even though obviously you work your behind off and blah, 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 blah. But whereas when I was younger, that would have meant so much more to me. So I think that level of competitiveness does wane a bit as you get older in certain areas. But then in terms of what I see in other people with ambition and drive and so on, that I think might, depending on who it is, might increase, I suppose, a little bit. But I don't like it when people are competitive with stuff that doesn't matter, like, you know, people making fun of others with what they wear or their haircut or what they
listen
to.
Do
you know what I mean? No. That's the competitiveness, I think. If someone describes someone as competitive, you think of a typical full-blooded alpha male, chest puffed out. They're trying to compensate for perhaps a little bit of insecurity deep down and so on and so forth. But I think when someone is quite overly competitive in a quiz or something, I find it quite funny. You know, I don't mind that.
I'm okay with it. I think my big thing is just as long as it doesn't turn a little bit nasty. Sometimes I don't know if it's, you know, maybe someone's had one drink too many, or they just get themselves a bit worked up. Just keep it fun.
Keep it fun.
Just not get too upset.
I think ultimately one needs to know when to be competitive and when not to be, because competitiveness can produce a bit of drive, determination, ambition. You know, those are all good things in moderation, people. That's what it is. Gelato is fantastic, but moderation is needed, for crying out loud.
So I did actually ask the listeners on Insta if they had any, if they were competitive. On the whole, they were, actually. A few people, so like Laura said, I like to think I'm not, but I am.
I think a lot of people are like that, I think.
Yeah. We had Paul said, until there's a pub quiz on, absolutely not. I feel like the pub quiz sometimes brings out the worst in people.
Yeah.
Vishnu said, not as much as I used to be or thought I was. So I feel like there's a lot of people being like, oh, no, yeah. I'm not. Oh, wait, maybe I am. And then the Reverend Matt just said, yep.
Reverend.
He knows it. He knows he's competitive.
Yeah, Rev Matt's competitive. Don't worry about that.
And finally, I think my favourite one, your friend of mine, Kithrin, said, said, if my husband beats me in a board game, I won't speak to him for days.
long-suffering husband. My goodness.
So on the whole...
I do know this person, don't worry.
On the whole, the listeners are very competitive.
I think people are. I think ultimately everyone has a degree of competitiveness. And that can be... I think... I don't want to sound like recreational competitiveness. I think dangerously close to. I think recreational competitiveness is actually, I think most people have it in some area.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
they like it, they think, oh, I'm not competitive. Because I think when people sometimes say about, are you competitive, they think of the arrogant sort of slight bully in America, in American high school terms, of sort of the stereotypical jock and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But actually, when it comes down to it and we strip it all back, good old fashioned pub quiz or Scrabble or whatever you want, Monopoly, that's where it comes out. And I think even with yourself, Sarah, you you may not be competitive in the traditional sense, but when people try and break the rules, that's where you are competitive when it comes to justice. You want to be the most just person out there.
Marcus, we have hosted a pub quiz together and my reactions to injustice, oh, I'm having none of it.
Yeah, no room for humour with Sarah when it comes to the quiz.
So harsh.
We will do a answerable questions or question answers pub quiz one day. And that would be quite fun because you'd have Marcus the Quizmaster. You'd have Sarah the Angel on one shoulder and Chris the Demon on the other. It's like, oh, let's just cheat.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. It'll have to be in about 18 months when everybody's got their appetite for quizzes back, I think.
Oh, can't wait. I can't wait.
Bloody wait. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do get involved on Insta or Twitter at AQQAPod is where we are, where you can answer. You can get involved. You can be part of the show as Rev Matt and Kithrin were and all those heroes of the Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers community, of course. But until next time, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Cheerio.
See you next week, people.